bit of philosophy now, whether we are speaking of politics, of romance, of the economy, or personal health. What we as humans believe is true and what is actually true constitutes something of a psychological dance with delusion. It both denies reality, but it also creates it at the same time. Take the very real problem of obesity in America. The numbers don't lie, but Americans typically don't tell the truth even to themselves about their own weight. A new study in the journal Preventive Medicine asked nearly 400,000 Americans to self-report their weight in 2008 and 2009. Researchers compared these self-reports to obesity data reported by American doctors. Hard data, the actual numbers on the scale from the doctors, who, I gather, would have no reason to lie, according to the journal Preventive Medicine. Well, the self-reports showed that the rate of obesity went down between 2008 and 2009. That's right, getting lighter, improving, their weight loss programs all succeeding, is what the 400,000 reported to Preventive Medicine. But the truth is that obesity rates went up for both men and women between the years of 2008 and 2009. So the denial of reality may have actually accelerated what really happened in the case of obesity. How does this work in society and in human evolution? Professor Robert Trivers has spent his career studying the evolutionary psychology behind self-deception, and he describes the phenomenon in his book, The Folly of Fools, The Logic of Deceit and Self-Deception in Human Life. He joins us. Welcome to the program, Robert.
Thank you.
So your title says The Folly of Fools, but then you say there's a certain logic of deceit and self-deception. How does that work?
Well, The Folly of Fools was a title chosen by the publisher. They tried out any number of titles, and that's from a line in the Bible, I think in Proverbs, and it says something like the something or other, you know, is the reward for wisdom, but the folly of fools is deception. So they link deception with the folly of fools. So it's just a biblical quote.
And do you believe that the self-deception gene is actually something that has helped human survival?
Well, I think we have been selected to practice self-deception the better to deceive others. And to the degree that deception of others is advancing our own interests, not the interests of the person being deceived, and not by any means necessarily the interests of the group or the species, yes, it'll spread by natural selection. So let's take the example that you began with, which is very interesting. Why are people seeing themselves as less obese than they really are? Psychologists will tend to say this is because they want to feel better about themselves. And so the function of self-deception is to feel better about yourself. But feeling better about yourself is not in itself an evolutionary payoff in terms of survival or reproduction. I believe it's part of a much broader, general, and deep tendency in us to represent ourselves to others as better than we are, better looking, smarter, more moral, more concerned about their feelings, and so on. And insofar as we actually believe those things, we'll be more effective at fooling others into having a higher opinion of us than we deserve.
So self-deception, it basically makes us very, very confident about something we're trying to sell to somebody else. If we believe it, other people are going to believe the malarkey that's coming out of our mouths.
It makes us more confident, exactly. And if you have a moment, let me give you the best example of this phenomenon, because after all, the study you mentioned also highlights why self-report data are such a flimsy foundation upon which to build a science. Namely, people ain't telling the truth about themselves. But if 70% of us say we're better looking on average than average, which is impossible, then is that just our mouth talking, or do we actually believe it inside? So here was the interesting experiment. They would take a picture of yourself. Any listener can think of this as themselves. They take a picture of you, and then they morph it to be either 20% better looking or 20% uglier by the help of a computer, which is able to combine a good-looking face or an ugly-looking face with your face so as to make it better looking or worse. Now they play the following game with you. Suddenly, blingo, there's on the computer screen in front of you, there's 12 faces matched for your age and sex, one of which is yours. Your only job is to find it as quickly as possible and then point it out so as to correct for errors. You hit a button when you spot it, you point it to correct for errors. Now, here's the interesting thing. They run this experiment repeatedly where either the face in there is your real face or it's 20% better looking or it's 20% uglier. And guess what? You see your better looking face quicker. You recognize yourself quicker as a better looking entity. It takes you 5% longer to see real you and 5% longer still to see ugly you. In turn, if you're looking at all the photos of you from 50% better looking to 50% uglier, 20% better looking is the one you think is you, even though you have real you in front of you, and it's also the face you like the most. And notice that this is bounded. You don't choose 30% better looking. That might be implausible. You don't choose 10% better looking because you're losing some of the advantage. So you choose 20% better looking. And that is an important truth about self-deception. A certain amount is effective at fooling others. Too much and you're the fool.
Don't be outlandish. Just be kind of pushing yourself in the direction of, erring on the side of better looking is sort of the domain here. Well, Robert Trivers is the author of The Folly of Fools, The Logic of Deceit and Self-Deception in Human Life. And you're a professor of anthropology at Rutgers University. But we've reached you down in Jamaica, where it seems to me there's a curious experiment in possible self-deception on the positive side going on. Jamaica celebrating its 50th anniversary of independence. Usain Bolt getting a gold medal in the 100 meters at the Olympics. I suspect it's a very joyful day down in Jamaica. Does that joy and confidence translate into a kind of, we're doing better than maybe we think if we look at our economic statistics and our dreary unemployment rate? What do you think's going on down there in the laboratory of Jamaica?
Well, that's a good question. Interesting question. Of course, it was a time of celebration. A tropical storm hit us, so we were, we weren't outside much. I amused myself by fooling a Jamaican into thinking that I was that I could run unusually quickly for an old man because I had some Trelawney blood in me. That's the parish that Usain Bolt came from, Trelawney. There's a lot of good fun, laughter about it. I don't think there's too much belief that the athletic skills of Jamaica compensate for its numerous other problems, just as its music didn't. You know, its music was world famous and still is, but the athletes are incredible. You might have mentioned Shelly-Ann Fraser won the 100 meter in women, and they took the first and the third for women's 100 meters and the first and the second for men's 100 meters. Extraordinary. For a little island of 3 million people.
And good for them. Now, finally, before we go, the United States is known for its self-deception on the positive side. Is this a productive trait or something that gets us into trouble?
I feel that it gets us into a lot of trouble, and especially in international affairs. I think this nonsense about American exceptionalism. And then as a presidential candidate, you got to sign a board and say, hey, I believe in American exceptionalism, too. Well, that's just an updated set of terms that have been used in American history to congratulate ourselves for many, many years. It used to be manifest destiny. Remember that, brother? In school, that was what was manifest destiny. It was our destiny to wipe out the Amerindians and take over this beautiful piece of real estate and build this incredible country. But when we start pushing that too far, you know, it turns around and bites us. And one of the areas in which deceit and self-deception make an unusually large contribution is to war, and especially stupid wars.
And indeed, the Folly of Fools is a good title for that. Brother Robert Trivers, down there in Jamaica, the author of The Folly of Fools, The Logic of Deceit and Self-Deception in Human Life. He's a professor of anthropology at Rutgers University. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.